Ready to go. Okay, welcome once again. What do I have this week? This week I actually got 2 emails. And as it happens, both people who emailed me are here on the call. It's Gerda and Norma. So I'm gonna pull out your email so that we can unpack them and see what we can do. Right. So from you, Gerda, trust that you're well. You forgot to check if my Mac is fixed. My Mac is not fixed. I've got a new one, so I'm a happy chappy. All right, okay. So, and then as discussed, please find a revised letter. Please let me know when we can have a short discussion around this. I'm available Friday, if at all possible. To be honest, I didn't get a chance to look at this email before now. I saw it on my inbox. I guess it speaks to what I said earlier, that my week just disappeared. So I didn't actually get a chance to look at this, because had I done that, I would have seen that you asked me this question, and I would have made time for us to have this conversation. So we can go one of two ways, Gerda. You will guide me. We can unpack your message, your email right here, or we could do it privately. We could just chat about it at a different time, tomorrow if you want, or another day, Monday or whenever. So you tell me what you would prefer. Would you rather we unpack it just privately first and work it out, or just do it now? Yeah.
I would prefer if we can do it privately. We did discuss it last week as well, so I've changed it around, and you said you had to do a think about this one. So, yeah, let's rather do it on Monday or Tuesday, whenever you are available, please.
Okay. Let's say I can do tomorrow or Tuesday. So we can do Tuesday.
Tuesday is fine.
All right. Cool. So we'll park it for now then.
Okay.
We'll look, as you said, we did unpack it, the initial one. We did it on our last Q&A.
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'll leave this one for Tuesday. So we'll look into it together. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Thanks. Thank you, Gerda. The second email, as I said, was from Norma. And I responded to Norma and said, I want us to look at this question today. So let's see what Norma's question is. Good morning, Sia. Trust you are well. I've always wanted to become an asset away from my business, work with corporates on my personal capacity. Hence it only made sense that I join your program, which came at a good time for me, because thanks to COVID-19, I had to go back to the drawing board. So far, I think your program is insightful. And to be honest, I don't know where I'd get the info you share with us. Much appreciated. However, I feel like I'm missing something. The whole approach, the corporate sponsorship and partnership, only caters to scenarios where there's a problem, in inverted commas, and does not cover scenarios where one is proposing something to add value to what is already there. For instance, applying the COPED method when proposing a value add feature or something that will just make the corporate look good. Sorry, Norma, for doing this to your email. I believe this will also affect the approach one takes to take control of the meeting. I liked this question, and I said the same to Norma. I really like this question that Norma asked. I guess most of the questions you guys ask, because like I always say, your questions, they enrich the program. And, you know, sometimes people ask questions we did not think of, and because they ask them, it also benefits all of us. So how do I go about this one? My mind went in a million directions in terms of thinking how best to answer this this point that Norma is raising. So let's give it a crack. So you are right in saying I tend to talk a lot about problems. That is definitely correct. However, I also did talk about opportunity. If you look at when we introduced the culprit, I think on week 5, I spoke about the problem opportunity gap, problem opportunity link. So let's start there, and then we'll come and I'll tell you why I think of these things like this, and I'm hoping this will be helpful. So we talk about the problem opportunity gap and problem opportunity link. And so let's look at these two. What is the problem opportunity gap? The problem opportunity gap is when you influence, let's start there. When you influence people, there are two scenarios. There's always the present moment, and then there's always the future. This is how things are right now. And this is how things could be in the future. And I'm talking with my hands here. So when I'm saying this is where things are, I'm kind of putting my hand right here, at a chest level. I'm saying this is where things are. But when I'm talking about the future, my hand is like way, I'm stretching my hand way above my head. And I'm saying this, but this is where they could be. This is where they are at a chest level. But this is where they could be, way above my head with my arm stretched. So there's a gap. If you look at that, where my hand starts, where things are, and where things could be, that's the gap. And that's what I call the problem opportunity gap. Of course, I could call it anything, right? I could call it anything, but I chose to go with the problem, with the problem opportunity gap. So let's stick with that, and then we'll come back to when it's not a problem. But let's just say there's a problem. So here we are, right? Chest level, this is the now. This is where we are. This is what's going on. This is the current scenario. And this is the challenge with this scenario. Or this is the problem with this scenario. But now let's look at the future when the problem doesn't exist. Oh, this is where things could be. This is that there's an opportunity here for things to be better. So there's this gap between the present and the future. And because what I'm trying to get to is the problem opportunity gap and problem opportunity link. Now, that's the gap part. So this is the now, this is the future. And then let's look at the link. In the analogy that I use when I talk about the link, or the example, let me just not say the analogy, let me say the example that I use when I talk about the link was that in some cases, when we approach corporates, it's not that they have a problem. It's just that we've identified a problem that we are trying to fix. And we want to enroll them on as our partners so that we could deal with that problem. Let me try to think of an example right now where, let's say you want to help a community. Oh, let's talk about the example, Khedda's example on our last Q&A, helping ECD teachers and centers, right? Where she was writing to somebody who's got influence to say, hey, can we partner? You don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. I'm not coming to you because you have a problem. I'm coming to you because I've identified a problem. And this is what I'm doing to solve that problem. But here's an opportunity for you to partner with me so that we can solve that problem. And this is the benefit for you. So sometimes when we go to corporates, when we're reaching out to corporates, let's use Sia Temba's email a couple of weeks back where you wrote to this company and they responded saying, gee, the projects you are doing in the Eastern Cape with farmers, they sound interesting. Tell us more, give us answers to these questions. If you remember on week 3, when I was unpacking the emails. If you go back to week three, the recording for week three, where I was talking about this email. So he went to this company. He said, after having been following you guys, he said, I've been following you guys for, in fact, maybe I should actually pull out, since we've already unpacked that email on the program, let me actually bring it up so that we could use that email as an example where he didn't go to them to discuss a problem, but he reached out to them to discuss, you know, possibility of partnering with them. So if you guys can just bear with me, I just thought of this now, to pull out this email from Siatemba. Brilliant. Okay, I've got it right here. So here's the email Siatemba sent to another company. He said, afternoon. I've been following what your company does and came to a conclusion that we can build a good relationship and have a partnership arrangement to assist poor and marginalized communities around the Eastern Cape. The province is characterized by its ruralness, the poorest of the poor provinces. In contrast, it is endowed with untapped land, which has high potential, water resources, good climatic conditions for crop production. It is a net importer of vegetables and other horticultural crops from other provinces. It is for this reason that we think you are a good company that we can partner with to improve the livelihoods of the marginalized poor youth and communities of the Eastern Cape. In the Eastern Cape, we are involved in two projects, namely Tsabo Flora. The project is about 30 kilometers from East London. It started in 2018, and it is the first of its kind in the province to plant protea flowers for an export market. Two, Amatone Agro-Processing and Farming. This is targeting communal and private farmers that are growing vegetables in and around Amatone district. This involves invigorating and reviving vegetable production in the district and agro-processing for big retailers in the province, locally and nationally. Your response will be highly appreciated. So if you look at this email, there's no problem. He's not going to these guys because they have a problem that he can partner with them to solve. But what he highlighted here were two things. One, that he wants to assist. If you remember the first line where he says, I've been following what your company does and came to a conclusion that we can build a good relationship and have a partnership arrangement to assist poor and marginalized communities around the Eastern Cape. So there is a problem, but this is not this company's problem. He has identified this problem. He is doing something about it, but he wants to enroll them as a partner. But then there's another question that needs to be answered. They say, oh, well, all good and well for you to come to us to help you with the poor communities, but what's in it for us? And then that's when he went on to talk about the opportunity that's in the Eastern Cape, the land, the quality of the land, the resources that are there, the projects that he's busy with. So he's saying there are things, there are great things that I am already doing here. Imagine if we can partner, because without being explicit about what's in it for them, but by highlighting these issues, these opportunities, now he's getting them interested. This is now where we're going to go to a meeting. And indeed they responded. Let me see their response, because I think he sent that to me. And I think we did look at it around that time. But anyway, I can't find the response right now. What I do remember was that they responded with questions saying, okay, we hear you. What about this? I thought I had it. Okay, I'm still looking for it on my inbox. I'm still trying to pull that out because I think it completes the story where they respond. Ah, here's the response. Dear Siatemba, thank you for your email. We require more information in order to consider the matter properly. Please, can you provide us with information relating to these projects, the timing, the plans, and who is running them? please also explain how you believe we can be able to participate. So this is the problem opportunity link. So there's a problem out there, but we're gonna bring it here, and then we're gonna link it to an opportunity for them. So that's one of the things I covered on week five, where I was introducing a COVID. Now let's go further in trying to address this question. In some cases, there is no third party. For instance, there are no rural communities, let's just say, that you wanna bring on board for this. Basically, coming back specifically to your questions, where you identify this company, you wanna partner with them, but there's no problem, right? They don't have a problem. There's no third party problem that you wanna bring so that we can solve together. But what you have is an opportunity for them. The fact that you've got an opportunity that can improve something, it says there's something to be improved. The fact that you've got an opportunity for them to improve, to add value, I'm gonna use your words because I prefer to speak, you know, to use the words that you use to explain, to communicate your point. So let me put your email again. But the fact that you're going to them with an opportunity is because, the fact that there's an opportunity to improve something, it means there is something to be improved. So it may not necessarily be a problem, because the word problem sometimes can be viewed negatively. But the fact that it can be improved, what you really want is to get them to agree that this can be better. Right? The same way when a problem is put on the table, it becomes a point of agreement. You know, it becomes a point. The whole thing about problems is not that we love problems or we're always looking for problems to solve. It's just that the presence of a problem, it gives us a point where we can start on an agreement. Right? So let me use the example of myself and the JSE. They wanted better ways to promote Altex. They could have been cocky when I reached out to them and offered to assist and said, well, who are you? We don't have a problem. We are the JSE. We are big. We'll find a way to improve how we promote Altex, right? But they agreed. It was a point of agreement because they already said in the media that they were looking for ways to improve this. Let's say it's not a problem. Let's say to improve how they promoted artists. So when we can agree that this is the status quo, because that's really the point. The point is that what can we agree on about how things are right now? And based on how things are right now, do we agree that things can be better? Because that's really where you come in. Do we agree that things can be better? Because that's where my ideas are. My ideas, they fit within the gap. They are the bridge between where things are right now and where things can be. And that's let me not say, I almost said that's never gonna change, but I don't wanna say that because I'm only speaking for me, right? I'm speaking for my program that you guys are on and what I've done for 15 years, what I do even just in business, in sales, and all the other things that I do. Because when people can agree that the status quo is the way it is and they can agree that, hey, it can be improved, then you are opening their minds and you're opening up to hearing how these can be improved. So that's why I say gap, because the fact that you creating this gap that they can actually see is because what you've got is what's gonna fit in that gap. It becomes the bridge that links the current situation to the future, to the better future situation. So it's difficult to add value if people don't believe that there's value that is needed to be added to a situation. It makes it an impossible sale. So if the company you're approaching, let's forget the word problem. Let's say they don't have a problem. You're approaching them with your idea. This is one of the biggest mistakes people make, is that they write to companies or reach out to companies with ideas. And companies obviously reject these ideas. They're like, oh, okay, reject the idea. Because they cannot see where it fits in. They cannot see what it's trying to improve necessarily. They just think it's a nice idea. And then what typically happens is that 3-4 years down the line, they come to a realization that they want to improve things. And then somebody in the company says, do you remember that email we got from that person that we don't know, that anonymous person that had these types of ideas? And then they dig up the email. They look at the ideas that somebody put in a proposal. Have you ever heard that word? Where people send proposals with a ton of ideas and they never hear back from companies. And then what happens next? Companies implement the thing. And then somebody sees their thing being implemented. And then they cry foul. Oh my God, this company, that was my idea. They rejected it, but now they're implementing. You guys have heard stories of people accusing big corporates of stealing their ideas. I mean, there's a soccer competition in South Africa where soccer fans, you know, pick a team and they pick a coach. There was somebody who was crying foul against this beverage company, saying, they stole my idea. I wrote to them and I gave them this idea. And it was now a big competition on television with some of South Africa's biggest football teams playing, football clubs playing this, participating in this competition. We've also heard stories of people accusing retailers, particularly one of the more premium retailers in the country, accusing them of stealing their designs. You know, there was a case, I think, in 2019 or 2018 of a lady who had designed a baby carrier, or at least she says it was her design. And a big retailer was selling that under their brand. We've also heard of beverages, somebody pitching their craft beer thingy, and, you know, and the retailer was selling this thing and they were claiming that it was their patent. So those things, and I'm not accusing these entrepreneurs. I don't want this to come across as if I'm saying people, they don't take care of things and then they accuse corporates. Of course, if their ideas were stolen, they have a right to complain. But what I'm saying, sometimes when we cannot get people to agree that this is where things are, whether there's a problem or not, where they can agree that this is where things are, this is where they can be, and I've got something that's going to add value to take them there, you're not going to be able to convince them about the value that you're bringing because they are not starting at a place where there's a longing for better, if that makes sense. Because that's what problems do. They create a desire for a better situation or a status quo that is not a problem, but when there's an agreement that it can be better, then it creates a desire for better. I don't know if this even begins to kind of touch on your question, Norma. But let me bring you in, so that if we haven't really answered this, we can continue. Over to you, Norma.
Yes, you have answered my question, and I think this audio will, for me, it will work best for days when I overthink things. And I can just come back and listen to it again. So yes, it does answer my question. However, it brought another question for me in terms of how do you protect your ideas? Like you said about entrepreneurs who would propose things to these corporates and they don't materialize. And later, maybe after years, the corporates run with the idea without the knowledge. Like how do you go about that?
That's a very good question. These are really, really good questions. First, let me speak from my experience. In my 15 years, you know, I sound like a really old man now. In my 15 years of doing these partnerships, I've never had to do anything, you know, to protect my ideas. But I will give some thoughts, some ideas as part of this answer. But let me talk quickly, firstly, about my experience. I've never really had to protect ideas because of, I think, my approach, the approach that I'm teaching you guys, where, first of all, I don't send ideas to people. Yes, I send the JSE. Someone may say, oh, but your letter to the JSE said you wanted to write a book like this, like this, like that. If I was writing that letter now, I'd probably do it slightly better without revealing too much about the book. But I still felt protected even then, even though I was wet behind the ears in 2006 when I sent the letter, because I knew that writing a book is not an easy. Nobody says I'm going to steal that idea and write a book. Writing a book is work, you know, and most people do not want work, especially thieves. People who steal things, they actually want to steal things that are already done, that are ready made. So very few people will steal ideas that require work. You know why? Because a lot of people have their own ideas. They're not implementing them. You know why? Because implementing them means work. So I felt protected in that regard, that nobody was gonna, it was gonna be like really hard for a person to say, I'm gonna go interview these CEOs, write a book, spend money, all of that. And because I was not asking them for money, it was an easy, all they had to do from the JSC, all they had to do was to say yes. And then everything was going to be handed to them on a silver platter. So to actually steal, it's like somebody stealing their own food. You know, you come home and you see, that's a nice cake. Whose cake is that? And then you say, let me just eat it. And then whoever put it there for you, they say, hey, somebody, this cake that was here is missing. And nobody knows where the cake is because you don't want them to know that you stole it. And then they say, this cake, I put this cake here for you. Somebody must have taken it. You know, so nobody wants to steal something that was for them to begin with. So I had approached the JSE and they already knew that I was going to, all they had to do was to say yes, because I didn't want money from them. So I felt protected in that regard. So what are the options then for somebody who really wants to protect their ideas? One of the easiest ways is paper trail. Keep your emails, because emails are records. You know, if you send an email to somebody, keep that, you know, print it out if you must, save it in a file so that there is proof. In case something has to go to court, there's evidence that you did indeed approach these people with this idea. Now, that would be one. The other thing, I'll start with the things that are free and then we'll talk about things that cost money. The other thing is when you go to meet them, now it's a discussion phase because now they call you for a meeting and you have to now come and share the idea with them because you can't hide the idea if you want to do the deal, right? So now you're in this meeting setup. That you want to reveal what your idea is and how it's going to help them. Write it down. So have a mini explainer of the idea. I don't want to say proposal, because it's really not a proposal. That's something that, like a supporting document that explains what you're going to share with them anyway. So when you get there, find out first who's going to be in this meeting. Who's going to be there at the meeting? So how many people are attending? 5 people. So print maybe 10 copies, just in case there are other people that end up coming. Print 10 copies of that. And by that, I don't mean 20 pages of stuff. It could be just a page or 2 pages of just the explainer of the idea. So, and make sure it's got a cover page on it. And if you know who's gonna be there, write those people's names on the cover of each of these documents that you're gonna give them. And have a page with a list of people that are going to be in the meeting. This sounds like a lot. It's actually not. So you print out the idea. It's got a cover. The cover has the title of what this is, what the idea is about. And it's got for so-and-so. You write the name of the person that you're going to give that to. You write it on the cover of that for, you know, for so-and-so. And then have a one page where you write a list of names of people who are going to be at that meeting. So that the reason you have that list is that when you hand them this document, all you want to do, you just want to ask them to sign that they received it. The same way when the sheriff comes to your house, they give you this envelope with these official documents inside. They say, please sign here that you received this. Simple. So it's a case of no, and you don't want to intimidate them when you ask them to sign. You just want, guys, I just want to make sure that, you know, I just want to, I'm just keeping track of why I'm sharing this idea with. So I'm just going to give it to you. Do you mind just acknowledging that you received it? See, it's nothing, it's not scary, it's not like a legal thing. You're just saying to them, just acknowledge, I just want you to sign here or write your name just as an acknowledgement that you did receive it. It's, I mean, that's not an unreasonable thing to ask. And a person who receives them, they'll be like, sure, of course, yeah, I received it. That's it. They'll just sign, they'll sign that one pager. That's it. There's no contract, there's no NDA, nothing of the sort. You know, because another mistake I see is that when people have ideas, sometimes they, let's say they approach me with an idea. I'm minding my own business, remember? I'm minding my own business, I'm living my life. Somebody comes to me with their idea. And then they say to me, Sia, before I can tell you my idea, I've got an NDA for you. You know what I normally say to them? I say, actually, don't tell me your idea. I'm like, no, don't tell me. Don't tell me. You know, because for me, it's like, you know, like you think I'm going to. So people can be offended when very early, before you even tell them something, you already want them to sign an NDA. That's why I just take this very kind of easy way where they just sign that, oh, I received this document. That's it. The same way they would sign when the sheriff delivers a document to their house. And then the other thing is, all of the things so far are free. All of these options are free. Then the other option is really get a lawyer. You know, get a lawyer and get legal advice from your lawyer. If you feel you really want to protect things from the get-go and these options are not strong enough as measures in your view to protect yourself, I encourage you to get a lawyer. And then if you don't get a lawyer at the beginning, when the deal is concluded, I've never really needed a lawyer for most of the deals I've done because there was really nothing at stake for me. I was always the one who was getting a bigger share of the deal. You know what I mean? And it required work. That's another thing. It required me to do stuff for them, you know, in exchange for what I'm getting from them. So I never really needed like serious lawyering, you know. But I would encourage you guys to, you know, get a lawyer to just, if there are contracts that are being signed, but make sure that you understand what you're signing. Make sure you get a lawyer that can advise you. I think those are the things I would suggest. Because most for the purposes of this program, the thinking for me is really these partnerships are for your benefit, for the benefit of your company, and they range in size from the smallest, you know, help from a big corporate, but they can range to large things. So use your own judgment to say what's at stake here, because you also don't want to be getting lawyers for things where there's no risk for you. But if something is huge, the money's involved, you feel you may not get paid or anything of the sort, then make sure that the contracts are clear. And if the contract that they give you, it comes from their legal department, I advise you get a lawyer. If it's written by their lawyers, get a lawyer as well to just check that for you. And that lawyer can be a friend. If you say, gee, but lawyers are expensive, get somebody who's got, you know, the right to read legal document and give an opinion on them. I know that for small businesses, lawyers can be expensive, but if you can, get one. But for most things, the other measures that I advised that are free and simple, they suffice. Great questions, Mama. So hit me with more. Please come back on the line. Let's take them one at a time. Did that help?
Yes, it did help. Thank you. But I don't have another question. But nice. Yes, that it does help.
We were on a roll here. Thanks, Nama. Thank you. Those were great questions. I don't have other questions, guys, for this week. So I don't know if I get to have a free pass to go home early today. Just kidding. Yeah. Hit me. If you've got questions, please unmute yourself. Let's tackle them. Anybody? Hey, Glenn, unmute yourself. Let's do this. I see your hand is up. Please unmute yourself. Let us tackle your questions. Glenn, can I help you? Let me unmute you, if you don't mind. I'll unmute you from my side. Okay, that didn't seem to work. Maybe I sent you a message because it says ask to unmute. In the past, this app, you could just press and unmute your guests. For some reason now, it looks like I need permission to unmute you. Glenn, please unmute yourself. I've acknowledged your hand. Please unmute yourself and let's talk. I can't unmute you from, for whatever reason, I have to ask for your permission to unmute. So please, you've got the platform. Unmute yourself and let's talk. Are you struggling? Okay, type on the chat because I don't know what's going on. Maybe you're struggling on your end to unmute yourself. Just type it on the chat and then I'll check the chat. Who's Victor? I've got Victor on the call. I know it's one of us in the group, but I just want to know who came in as Victor on the call. Anybody? Okay, guys, this is becoming awkward. Now, there's no way I can't be quiet because then we're going to have radio silence, and silence is never good on radio. So if you guys are not talking to me, we may have to, maybe you don't have questions, but Glenn, type your whatever chat, whatever comment or question you had, please go to the chat and just type it because I know you wanted to say something because your hand was up. Unfortunately, I couldn't unmute you on my side. So I'm just waiting for you now until we get further questions, if there will be. Okay, great. Gerda has typed on the chat. That's all from me. Thank you. Thank you, Gerda. Thank you for that message. Anything else from you guys? Oh, Glenn, we've got you. Hey, how are you?
Yes. All right. Thank you, man. I didn't know what happened here. But I didn't want to unmute. I logged on two different computers as well. And I managed to get through now.
You are giving me
chance. Just a question on the NDA thingy. I signed an NDA once with not too long ago, about 2-3 months ago, with a very, 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 very wealthy person, probably hundreds of millions of rands. And it was more of them getting things from me than what I'm getting from them, you know?
So he gave you his NDA for you to sign. NDA.
Don't tell me what. Yes, don't tell me what you want to do when you're asking me for all the information, you know? And I wasn't even paid for that information I handed over. So like you say, you must actually be very sort of wary and cautious, you know, what you say and what you're talking about and what you enter into, because it could actually put me at a disadvantage, you know. And I mean, these are extremely wealthy people, you know. So I take note of what you said earlier to say, look, then don't tell me. It's as simple as that, you know.
Just
get yourself into something that you don't want to find yourself in.
No, and you know, it's interesting talking about, you know, these the extremely wealthy people. Extremely wealthy. My experience is that these guys, because everybody wants to, subconsciously, we kind of all want to impress them because you know they've made it. But whatever. My experience is that they ask questions and they want to listen. They're always looking for the next big thing, and they will take that idea, and they've got the resources to throw millions behind it. And there goes your idea. So I agree with you, basically, Glenn, that people must be very careful. You know,
and just on that, for example, I mean, earlier on, I got an email as well from a gentleman I'm doing some work with, and he says, I've spoken to this group of attorneys. They wanna pick your brain. So now they wanna pick my brain, but you know, what's in it for me? How does one handle something like that? You know,
without
necessarily not being rude.
You charge a lot of money because you can't pick a lawyer's brain. I mean, if the roles were reversed, you can't go to ENS and say, "Hey guys, who was your best lawyer here? Just gonna pick his brain."
So that's what I was thinking. I thought myself, I mean, I want something on the ENS. I must pay 5-6,000 rand for it, half an hour, whatever. I'm gonna be consulting with him.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
So then it should be likewise.
No,
unless obviously there's opportunity for me as well. I haven't explored and said, look, you know, where this heading to, and how do I get involved with this?
No, charge for your time, charge for your ideas. Don't let them pick your brain. The other group of people, they are not lawyers, but the other group are the ones that want to take you out to lunch to pick your brain.
I don't do lunches anymore because I'm put on weight. I want food. I buy my own food. For example, in the week I was with a court company, and sort of collating with someone who asked me to join them, and we haven't spoken in terms of monetary value yet, but I see the bigger picture. But in this picture, I play a big role as well. So in the conversation. I think the gentleman at the insurance company didn't know that I don't know what the figures are in terms of the project. So he said, look, the project is probably worth 500 to 750,000 rand. But the other gentleman never told me it's 750,000 rand that I'm, you know, sort of entering to. But we never spoke money yet. But it doesn't seem like someone is going to be unreasonable. So
yeah,
I think my conversation must probably very soon be, say, look, make it worth my while, because I can also, I mean, earn this type of money if I were to necessarily do it my own. But I actually want to do it with him, because the collaborative will work out better, because he's got a lot of expertise, I've got expertise, and there's some other expertise around the table which I can bring in as well. So the things he said to me, just by the way, was you can get an office here. And it's nice. I'm in Tiger Valley. I think the office space is like 200-300 rand a square meter. You know, hopefully some good thing will come from that making
me awesome. No, great stuff, Glenn, and thank you for that input. Yeah. I think what you just did highlights what I'm always trying to communicate in this group, that the benefit, like you did last week and now and today, the benefit of being part of a group like this is that all of us have experiences in different areas. We've got experience in the fields where we come from, and we also have specific experiences which enrich the program for everybody. And because now the example you just gave, nobody will ever forget this when they find them. Nobody on this call or who will be listening to this will forget this when they find themselves. They'll remember your experience, you know.
And it's exactly what I was doing, because I'm very conscious when I meet with people, and I think, what did we discuss? What was said in that last meeting? You know, what was the view? What did the notes say? Just to keep that in the back of your mind, you know, to be conscious all the time.
No, absolutely. You guys, you have a lot of value. You know, just because you haven't done a lot of these partnerships, you're probably undervaluing yourself. You'd be surprised. I'm talking to all of you. You'd be surprised how much value you have, and what difference it could make to some of these corporate partners and to other individuals. So start really thinking and listing your expertise and the things you are good at, because that's all of those things are money. And people, if you don't charge, people will take them. You know, they'll say, hey, can I pick a break? And they'll take those things from you without paying. And then they'll use them to go make money for themselves. So do not underestimate your value. I think I want to just remind you that you've got a lot to offer. I think that's part of what spoke to you to say, you know, let's look into this program with this SIA guy. There might be something there. There's a reason why the little voice in your head said, let's look into this, because you know deep down that you actually do have something to offer. So do not take it for granted. Those would be my wise words.
Thank you for that.
So guys, we are on week 6. We've done our lessons weekly. We've done our Q&As. We are on week 6, right? Yep. Just in case I'm losing my bearings.
Great.
We are on week 6, yes. We did our last Q&A. We just did our last Q&A based on the weekly lessons. What does this mean now? What this means now is that you guys need to be out there. That's what it means. It means it's time to work. Roll up the sleeves. Go get your deals. And remember, this is not the end of the program. We're not even halfway, by the way. We're not even halfway through the program. This is still the first half, because the program is 13 weeks. This is week 6. So we still have another 7 weeks to go. And you've got me. I'm going to free up a lot of time. The hours that we're not going to spend doing these Q&As are the hours that I'm going to give back to you guys, so that you could reach out to me, so that I can talk to you one-on-one. I can coach you, mentor you, advise you, brainstorm with you on the things you are working on. So now you will reach out to me. You'll schedule a one-on-one time. Yes, we're going to miss each other as a group, but it's time to go make some money. I'm sure you'd agree. I just want to support you on your projects, on the outreaches that you guys are doing out there. So use me, okay? I haven't been very good at this with the previous groups, but I'm going to really try. You know, it's like parents who are learning to be parents with their first child and second child. And then they say, the third one, we really got to try to be better parents. I think I'm going to try to be a better leader with you guys, because I've been good with sending out my calendar, I guess because of COVID and my team also being busy with our main business, apart from this side project that I'm doing with you guys, which is a lot of fun, I must add, for me. I haven't been good with sending out my calendar. To say, hey, here's my calendar. These are the times when I'm available. Because I want you guys to just book yourselves online. Just click a link, go to my calendar, find a slot, just take it. But other than that, of course, I'm available on WhatsApp. As you guys know, you've got access to me. I respond all the time. I'm accessible on email. So anytime, use me, please. And I'm saying this like as if I'm like pleading with you. I think I do get frustrated, or at least what I've learned from the other people I've worked with, is that when people are quiet, I don't know what's going on, I don't know how I can support them, you know, and I get busy as well. I've got a business that I'm running, and I've got all these other people I'm helping. So if somebody doesn't reach out to me, they can get lost somewhere in the cracks, and then I'm wondering what's happening. I want you guys to bother me, okay? Like when you think, I don't want to bother Sia, that's a sign you need to bother me. Reach out, because I'm always game. I'm always ready to talk to you, and I love doing it because I want to support you. I mean, this Sunday, I'm actually talking to one of the members of our group on the project they're working on. I need to go talk to my wife about, hey, how's Sunday looking? You know, because I've already committed that I want to help this person in our group, because for me, that's important. I want to get this person ready for the meetings next week. If it means I must sacrifice 30 minutes of my Sunday, I'll do it without thinking twice. So I want you guys to know that I'm here. I really, really want to support you. The biggest reward you can give me, apart from, of course, the payment that you guys will make when you get your deals, is getting the deals. That, to me, weighs way more even than money. You know, I'll forget the money. You know, in a few weeks after you pay me, I'll be like, oh, what happened to that money? I want to know. Okay, but what I will never forget will be the email or the message you sent me where you say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you're not gonna believe what happened today, Sia. I just closed the deal. That means a lot to me. Which brings me, by the way, as I'm closing, to one of our colleagues we must congratulate, Sia Temba. We spoke about his email earlier today. He sent me a message last week. He closed a deal with a big retailer, huge one. Like, we don't have many big retailers in this country. We have a few. And yes, one of those that you're thinking of, he closed the deal. He's going to supply 147 of their stores with fresh produce. Wow. The deal was done. Guess what? The deal was done in one meeting. He didn't have to have months and months of meetings. He followed our process. One meeting, he negotiated a deal, he closed the deal. They just need to sign now, but the deal is agreed on. In principle, everything is agreed on. It's just a matter of them coming to see his site and the farms and basically just signing the paperwork. But the deal, the handshake has happened. The deal is on. He's going to supply 147 stores with fresh produce. That's a lot. That's a lot of cabbages. Oh, I don't think he plants cabbages. That's a lot of, you know, of beetroot and carrots and all the other cool things that him and his people make in those farms. So I think a big congratulations to Sia Temba. I also want to know what you guys are doing. I know that sometimes when I talk about somebody's deal, it may seem like, oh, that's huge. Mine is too small. No deal is too small. No deal is too small. So whatever it is you're working on right now, like really, even if it's just a discount of 5% on something, we want to celebrate that with you. So talk to me, share with me what you're doing, share with me the results you're getting, like what Glenn just shared with me in passing, the thing that, we could give you office space, that's something. That's a deal right there. So do share these things, because not only do they excite me and, you know, be me being happy for you, but they're also making you conscious of sometimes deals you do even without even knowing. Because even though you may not be conscious of certain things, this program is changing you. You may not know this, okay? But I've planted some seeds somewhere in your brain, like Inception. If you watch the movie Inception, I've already inserted some stuff inside your brains that you probably didn't even notice, guys. You are changing, okay? You are changing. You may not notice it, but your language is changing when you talk to people, by the way, if they haven't told you yet. Because some of my clients are like, see, somebody at work said, what happened to you? You are different. And she was like, your program is changing me. I know. So I don't want you, I want you to be conscious of the things that are happening around you. Because the more, there's a saying, and the saying is this, when you change the way you look at things you look at will change. Mm. When you change the way you look at things you look at will change. So when you start noticing the little things, the little shifts that are happening around you, the little opportunities that are opening up around you, when you start noticing that, it grows. It grows because now you start to put your focus on those things and those opportunities start becoming bigger and they start opening up. So I want you guys to really pay attention to these changes that are happening around you. Don't feel any pressure when I share other people's stories of what they're doing. Never feel pressure that, oh gee, I'm not like those guys that are doing those big things. You know, we are at different stages here. Every big thing started as a small thing. Every big thing, every big business started as an idea. So be okay with where you are. You are ahead of a lot of people just by being in a program like this, just by doing what you did, where you voted with your money, you sacrificed your money and said, I'm gonna give this money to this CEO guy who talks a lot and speaks very fast. Let's see what happens. That, you know, okay, that was a big step, okay? So you are not like anybody out there, you know? Yes, we may be at different stages in the program because we come from different businesses. So don't feel I don't feel any pressure, please. So whatever deals are happening, big or small, please do share, because we inspire each other by sharing our stories. I hope that helps, guys. What do you think, Glenn?
A fantastic thing. I must say that, I mean, like you say, that the way you look at things will change, you know, and those things change to you. And that's what how I see things today. I look with a different eye. I think of these discussions, these conversations. It makes you more aware, and you actually start growing, like you say, without even knowing you're growing. Because there are certain things that's coming to me now that I didn't even sort of think of, you know. I don't know where it's coming from. But the proposals are coming towards me. I must almost like sort of say, you know, hold on, I can't do everything, you know. and that's when my mind shift must start coming out to say, how do I outsource it to someone else again? You know, help somebody else in the process where I can't do it. And I can say, look, find someone that's reliable and trustworthy and hand over maybe a project to somebody as well. But yes, definitely, there is definitely a total mind shift just in this few weeks.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, man. Anyway, thank you, guys. I'm going to miss you, like, really. I was getting used to these Fridays. I'm going to miss you. So do talk to me. Know that I'm thinking of your businesses. I'm thinking of you when I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I'm sitting at home. Do talk to me. Do not hide. Don't run away. We are still in the program. Now I just want to help you execute. That's really all I want to focus on now. I want to help you execute, implementing what I've already taught you, because that's the only way you're going to master this stuff. There was that little video that I included on week 6 about mastery. The reason I included that is because everything, you know, when it comes to our development as people, it comes down to how we engage with new information, new materials, new training, new anything, right? So I want you guys to master this. I want you to do these partnerships for the sake of doing them, really. You know, like, this may not make sense. Somebody in the book that was referenced on the video, Mastery, which I would highly recommend, by the way, by George Learned. One of the things he talks about in the book is that people who master things, they practice for the sake of practicing. So an Olympic athlete, let's say after they just went to the last Olympics, let's say last week, they take a break for a month, they start training a month later. They're not necessarily training for the next Olympic, but they're training because it's part of their DNA to train. So imagine if we could approach doing partnerships because it's part of our DNA to do partnerships. Everywhere we look, we see opportunities to partner. That's how mastery is achieved. And it never stops. It never stops. You never say, people who have mastered their craft, they don't say, now I've mastered my craft. Michael Jordan didn't do that until he retired. You know, he didn't say, now I'm Michael Jordan, why should I go to training? He was still pushing himself to get to the next level. He was hiring private coaches when he was already Michael Jordan. Okay, because that's what mastery is about. It's about always getting to the next level. And that's what I wish for you guys. I wish that you would take this as part of who you're going to become for the rest of your life, where you're going to see opportunities to partner, to do big things, do small things, partner with corporations, not do things just because everybody's doing them, you know, not spend money because everybody's spending money when you could do a deal that benefits everybody. So that's really my wish for you. I think on that note, I am going to stop. Before I start preaching, I am going to start right here. That's it, guys. Thank you. I'm available anytime you need me. By all means, keep talking to me. Thank you. If you have anything else you want to say before we wrap up, by all means, unmute yourself and say your piece, and then we say our goodbyes.
Before I forget, the question is for, I actually forgot to follow up with Norma. Norma, did you manage to get a Google?
I guess that's for Norma. Oh, okay, there she is.
Oh, hi, Glenn. Okay. I haven't spoken to her yet because I just want to get a good thank you. I haven't spoken to her yet because I just want to get everything on paper. I'm still working on my paperwork for this project. And after that, that's when I'll be contacting her.
Okay, no, great stuff, because she is waiting for your call. I said a lot of good things about you. So she's waiting for you to form that partnership with you.
Please, Norma, do reach out to Google. Even if it's just to tell her what you just told us, just reach out to her so that this connection doesn't go cold. So reach out to her and just introduce yourself and then say in a couple of weeks, you will be reaching back to her or whatever the case.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Great. All righty. Cool. Thank you. Okay, guys. Yeah. That would be that for this week. We will be in touch soon. Okay, guys, take care of yourselves. Let's wrap it up. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.